Welcome to the JD Show. The purpose of the show is to help you implement on your dreams. And today we have with us a very, very special guest, someone who really inspires me. I read her messages pretty much all the time. She also leads Optimum Performance Solutions. She's also currently the only certified coach in UK of someone you must know about. That's Dr. John DeMartini. So please help me welcome Manmeet Chaudhary.
Hi, Jack.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the show.
I'm humbled. Thank you so much for having me on here.
I am so excited. I honestly cannot tell you how excited I feel when you agreed to come on the show. I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to ask you questions which I'm really, really passionate about. And that's coaching and getting people to open up. And the emotional aspects, which most people struggle with. I mean, in my early 20s and even mid-20s, I used to be a mess. I used to struggle, you know, emotionally. I was a big mess. But then I did some coaching. So share with us, how did you start your journey? When did you start with coaching?
Well, coaching came a little bit later, but like you, I was in a bit of a mess too. Mm-hmm. So I was basically working in a full-time employment at the time, and I was into the positive thinking industry for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I have worked with a lot of people that are well-known out there, learned a lot to do with their modalities, their way of thinking, but one thing that just wasn't able to sit with me is here I was trying to think positive all the time. And all these things that I was perceiving to be negative, mm-hmm, still kept happening.
Yep.
And I'm going, everybody else has got a great life but me. And I'm the one that's been dealt the, you know, crappy cards.
Yeah.
And just thinking that it was just me, you know, that was not getting the great stuff that everybody else was getting from life. So I felt like I was the odd one out. I also at the time, you know, felt God had done me wrong. And I'd come to a point in my life where all the issues I was going through, I mean, Jack, it was like issuesgalore.com. There was health issues, relationship issues, family issues, it was just like all.
Yeah.
And I just felt at that time that actually the better option might be to leave.
Yeah.
So I had contemplated ending my life. And and I was around about the time that you got into personal development, which you said earlier was about 26.
So yes.
I was about 26, 27. And that was when I just thought, you know what? It's time to go. It's better to go than to stay and live this life.
Yeah.
And that was when I came across my mentor, mm-hmm, Dr. John DeMartini.
Mm-hmm.
And my mentor and teacher now, who I say, you know, gave me my second life, because mm-hmm, he was, giving me the tools to basically help me manage my life from more of an empowerment of embracing both sides, mm-hmm, not trying to get one-sided life.
Mm-hmm.
So I started that journey in 2008, a lot more to do with working on myself. I did that for about 4 or 5 years. And then I became a facilitator, mm-hmm, for Dr. DeMartini in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So that was where my journey for coaching started. And I was still in full-time employment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, coaching alongside that, and then eventually moved out of that into full-time, have now Optimum Performance Solutions.
Fantastic. It's strange you mentioned that, is because in my mid-20s, I was at a point where, in fact, it's very difficult to tell people or to say, especially in a video, I was standing on a bridge to commit suicide at one point. And I, you know, my finances were a mess. My emotions were a big mess. It's almost like I felt the same. In fact, not the same. I've just dealt with the wrong cause in my life. And for everything, pretty much everything was going against me. And like you said, you know, you found a mentor who helped you to bring that, you know, it's almost like pulling you out of the trouble zone. For me, it was just books. I just drowned myself in books, and that really pulled me out of it. But yeah, that's great. So tell us, how did you deal with the emotional? So when you said, you know, you it's like looking more in an empowering way, how did you deal with the emotional aspects of being able to pull yourself out? How did that happen? That phase of change, how does that really work?
Well, I think what happens is we're kind of questioning, yeah. right? And we come to a next level of questions that aren't being answered by other modalities and things we've learned before, because, you know, we're always growing. Excuse me. And, well, the thing that pulled me out of that was actually the Demartini method. And, you know, that allowed me to see so many aspects of my life that, you know, as you just said, things we perceive are going against us. Mm-hmm. When we look to see how they're going for us, mm-hmm. we make a different change. And allowing me to see, by asking a set of quality questions, see the perfection on what was going on. And by that, Jack, I don't mean, you know, let's just make everything that you're thinking is negative to be positive.
No, it doesn't work.
It's about bringing it into balance mm-hmm. and seeing both sides. And mm-hmm. similarly, you know, when we have things going great for us,
yeah.
we only see one side, right? Yeah. We go, this is amazing. You know, this is only good in this.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's also bringing that into balance mm-hmm. that allowed me to go, oh, hang on. There is something that can take me out of emotional reaction and back into action by embracing both sides of life, not trying to get rid of something I can't get rid of mm-hmm. and trying to obtain and keep what I, you know, can't always keep. Because it's just it's a whole, you know, perception thing. Like you said, you just dived into books,
yep.
you know, and when you understand that the point of change comes from, you know, changing your perceptions. You know, William James said that, you know, we have the ability, the most empowering ability to change our perceptions, which changes, you know, our outcome and our world and the way we view it.
I agree with that. You know, it's strange you mentioned that. It's when you look at a situation in your life and when you change the meaning of that, so you're looking at a different meaning of a negative situation in your life, it can change the whole picture for you. That has been my experience. It's changing the meaning we attach to words that we look at. So it's a let's say a negative situation we are in, or something that's going against us, we tend to not see what's positive behind that.
Yeah, and actually what's really important to point out there is that we're actually never going through something either positive or negative. We're going through something that's neutral.
Yeah.
But what happens is we label it either good
or bad
or positive or negative based on something very important. And I want to just share that with you and the viewers, because it's so important. It's actually an ology called axiology,
mm-hmm.
which is a study of values and worth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by the ancient Greeks. And you won't believe this is the most important study to mm-hmm. understand yourself and mm-hmm. other people.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it's the least studied ology that there is.
I have not heard of it.
Yeah. And before Dr. Demartini shared it with me, I hadn't heard of it either.
Yes.
It's basically that we are all operating from a hierarchy of values or priorities, you know,
yes.
from what's most important right yes. down to what's least important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I go through something that, you know, even if I interact with you and you support the highest priorities that I have, you know, I'm going to open up to you. I'm going to label you positive
mm-hmm.
or any event that supports my highest priority as positive.
Mm-hmm.
The minute I go through something that is challenging me,
mm-hmm.
Either an individual that's challenging me or an event that's challenging me, I will immediately label it negative.
Mm-hmm.
But when we actually see that what's happening has both sides, both positive and negative,
mm-hmm.
we see that as a neutral event. We see individuals as neutral, but what happens is, you know, there is that person inside of us that goes, no, it's only going to be one side. But when we ask these quality questions,
yeah.
You know, we're able to see this was just neutral.
Yeah.
There was, William Shakespeare says a lovely quote, my dad quotes it so much
yeah.
that, you know, it's been ingrained in me. He said that, you know, there is nothing good or bad in this world. It's just our thinking that makes it so. But I'll add on to that, the thinking comes from this, the hierarchy of
priorities.
Because, you know, it's like if you just take a typical, you know, mother
mm-hmm.
who has a high value on children
mm-hmm.
and you come in and you say, what beautiful children you have,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're doing such a great job at being a mum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going to open up to you, she's going to call you nice.
Yes, of course.
The minute, you know, if you look at a baby that she's created and you go, well, what's that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
she's going to shut down and
exactly.
go, I don't want to be around you,
yeah,
right?
Yes, yes.
So that's why I said it's so important. I call it, you know, the GPS. It's your genius priority system. Because it's your GPS that is actually guiding you and maneuvering how you make decisions, how you create emotions, and also your judgments. Like I just said, if it supports your priorities, you label it good. If it doesn't, you'll label it bad, when essentially it's just neutral.
I'm going to dig deeper into that.
Sure.
So how is this different from Maslow's hierarchy, for example? And if you were to define this in two or three lines to make it easier for our audience to understand and implement, how would you do that?
So let's answer the first one, which has a different from Maslow's hierarchy of needs. When you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it assumes that everybody has these needs as they're going you know, up. And obviously self-actualization is at the top. We're all looking to, you know, self-actualize, so that's definitely there. But let's just say, so, you know, Maslow's hierarchy says that you have food and shelter, and you're looking for a home, and then, you know. So what about the single people who never want to be married?
Right? I saw that, yeah, of course.
Okay, so it's assuming also that, you know, everybody wants to have a family and support all that way. So this is very individual.
Yeah.
No two people have the same set of priorities, okay? And it's very thumbprint specific is what I call it. So it's your very unique identity. Yeah. And how you are able to identify it is looking at, you know, if you were looking at, Dr. DeMartini's come up with a great value determination process, which is, you know, what do you fill your space with? What do you spend your time on? You know, what do you spend your money on, your energy on? You know, all these, there's a few more questions, but when you look around you, and I want to differentiate for your viewers the term of values, so that, because the moment you say values, people immediately kind of assume it's to do with honesty and integrity. But when I say, well, what are your priorities in life? People will go, well, my business, my family, you know, making money and things like that. So it's about what is really tangible that is your priorities in life. And you are able to just see, well, I'm making my decisions from there. This is already running you at a subconscious level.
That's right,
You know, 95% of the time it's running you. So it's about bringing it conscious and going, well, what are my priorities? And, you know, we take you through a process to identify them. And then you're able to go, well, I can see now why I've made certain decisions. Because sometimes, you know, I'm sure you've been there. I know I've been there before. And I'm like, why did I do that? You know, or why did I put that person before me, etc.? And then when you look at what your priorities were, we're always making decisions based on what we perceive is going to fulfill those priorities most. That's all we're doing. You know, all individuals are trying to do that.
So again, digging slightly deeper there, that if our audience want to implement this in their life, within two or three lines, can you help them with that? And then I can obviously direct them towards your training program. But at this moment, while they're watching this, can they implement something right now that will help them implement some of this?
Yeah, I mean, take a look at your life and, you know, take a look at, if you just ask a couple of these questions, what are you filling your space with? You know, if you've got a computer around you, what are you doing mostly with that? And if you have, you know, your time, everybody has the same amount of time. You know, when people say, I didn't have time to do that, all that means is it wasn't a priority.
It was just,
and that's okay.
Just down the value chain. Yeah.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. And so you look at, what do you spend your time on other than sleeping? You know, in the last week or so, last month, what have you spent your time on? What do you spend your energy on? What do you have energy for no matter what? Like, I know for you, you know, this JD show, what you do for a living, all of this is, I know you're up messaging at like 2-3 in the morning sometimes because you have a lot of energy because it's a high priority for you. I know if you asked me to say, Manmi, I'm going to do this interview at 2 in the morning, I would be here because it's a high priority for me to share the message. What do you spend your energy on? What do you spend your money on? Right? If you take a look at that. So once you take a look at these, I would answer the three questions. And when you take a look at those, then you're able to identify, you know, what there is. Alternatively, you know, there is the value determination process, mm-hmm. Which is on Dr. Steve Martini's website.
Okay.
And they can go through that. There's a set of 13 questions which identifies mm-hmm. what people's values and priorities are. Once they know that, then they're able to, you know, they will be able to immediately go, ah, I see why I made that decision, or I see why I made that emotion that time. And a lot of things just start to come into.
Okay, so tell us, where do you see personal development industry going, and what has been your unique approach to it?
Well, where I see the personal development industry now is from having been in it, gosh, for however many years, I think over 12, 13 years now, mm-hmm. I see that more and more people, you know, are inquisitive about their own lives. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people want to reach their potential. They want to understand how they can actually get there and be self-actualized, you know, yes. and deal with that. So I think and you know, it's going to be balanced out. The more people want to know and have more questions about themselves, the yes. more denser the community
of course,
is going
yes.
to get.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of, you know, where I see there is a lot more. I know organizations now that I work with yes. as well, they're very much more open about things to do with mental health, mm-hmm. to do with performance of their employees, mm-hmm. you know, whereas when I was an employee, you know, many years ago, mm-hmm. there wasn't that kind of training, you know, yes. that used to happen. It was more skills-based
yes.
rather than mindset-based.
Mindset-based, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's your unique approach towards personal development?
My unique approach mm-hmm. is that I really help people come out of this emotional reaction yeah. and back into action.
Fantastic.
And that really helps them to you know, perform at their optimum mm-hmm. because now they're not held back by all these challenges that they're going through or emotions. Mm-hmm. They're able to just get right back into optimum action, helping them move forward with life.
Fantastic. It's great that you mentioned that. It's because in my 20s, when I was running a business, you know, I sort of run multiple businesses, but back then there was just one business that I was running. And I used to really, really struggle because at one point I used to question, in essence, I used to question my existence to what is it that I am here for in this world? That's the first question that I used to have. And the second was, you know, what's the point of waking up every single day and going to work and coming back without any, you're almost feeling passionate about what you do, being excited, you know, when you wake up. I didn't have all that. And I used to, and that led to literally struggling with relationships, either personal relationships or professional relationships, but that used to it was almost like it was demotivating for me because I'd come back home and you know something wouldn't get done. So that's how I felt. But being able to come out of those emotional challenges that we face every day, it really, really does help, and that's something that you really help with. So as a daily routine, what can people really do that can help them deal with these emotional challenges?
So Jack, anything that we're experiencing that we do perceive, as I said earlier, as negative or challenging is something we think is not helping our highest mm-hmm. priorities.
Yeah.
And I think one of the kind of rituals I do for myself mm-hmm. and I encourage my clients to do when they've worked with me is a couple of things. Mm-hmm. The first thing is a gratitude list. Mm-hmm. You know, we can sometimes get sucked into our own story about how we perceive things aren't going right for yes. us, when actually they're all working for us.
Yes.
So if we just do daily gratitude from the moment you woke up today to the moment you went to sleep, what happened today that you're grateful for? Now, I don't mean that it's only things that, you know, are all happy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, for example, I know that if I take Uber rides, I fly a lot, you know, yeah. I'm traveling countries. So I do, my pilots go in my gratitude journal because yeah. they've, you know, got me from one place to another safely.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you've heard the saying, when you're grateful for things you have, you get more to be grateful for,
yes.
right? So these are little gifts that you're able to just, you know, be very grateful for. Now, if you've been through a challenge during the day, it's quite hard to be grateful for the challenge. So one of the questions I ask myself before I go to sleep is, how did what I experienced today, how did that help me fulfill my highest priorities?
That's an interesting question.
When you do that, you're able to go, ah, well, this came from that today, and I was able to do this, I was able to do this. And remember, you're only looking to bring it back into balance, because in the balance is where gratitude is. That very challenge that you're going and experiencing during the day becomes something you're then grateful for. And when you go to sleep with a grateful mind, you know, you have a very quiet, like, kind of mind before you go to sleep. And I used to suffer a lot, like, from bad dreams and nightmares and things like that, because my subconscious mind is trying to process all the things I haven't balanced during the day. Mm-hmm. And the moment I did that, my quality of sleep just went up. I set intentions. The third thing I do is set intentions for the following day, mm-hmm. so that my subconscious already starts to process. You know, we have something called a reticular activating system in mm-hmm. in our brain. I'm sure you've heard of it. That is activated the moment we set an intention and go to sleep on it. Because it's like, you know, when you buy a car, when you're thinking of buying a car and you're going, oh, I'm going to buy an Audi. Mm-hmm. You start seeing Audis all around.
That's
you,
true,
right?
Yes.
So when you set an intention and it's a congruent intention with what's important to you, mm-hmm. it's not an intention that I'm going to remain happy all day, something mm-hmm. that's imbalanced.
Yes.
It's a balanced intention that fulfills your priorities. Your subconscious starts to look at ways and opportunities come to you to fulfill that. So I think those are the three things, you know, gratitudes, turning around your challenges, you know, to bring them back into gratitude, and then also setting intentions for the following day. I think those are three things that I do every evening.
Okay, interesting. Okay, leading from that is, so balanced intention is what you're talking about. This is not something I've kind of come across. Balanced intention and our monkey mind, so the chatter that's going on inside, how is that correlated?
Yep.
And how do you deal with this balance? How do you deal with the monkey mind and the balanced intention?
Okay, so the monkey mind, I guess you're calling it the animal brain, right?
That's true.
Okay, so on an animal level, what we're trying to do is we're trying to keep our prey, mm-hmm. okay? We're trying to seek food. We're trying to just keep that with us. And we're trying to avoid the predator.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're trying to obtain a positive life mm-hmm. and get rid of the negative life, okay?
Yeah.
Now, let me just give you an analogy here. If I gave you a magnet, okay? The magnet has two sides, right? Positive and negative. If I said to you, Jack, cut it in half and only give me the positive side back, would you be able to do that?
No.
Okay? Because when you cut it in half, it then becomes another positive and negative.
Exactly.
You cut it in half again.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the analogy of the magnet, we're trying to, in our monkey mind, trying to split that magnet and only get one side of that magnet.
That's interesting.
When you're always going to have both.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So in order to, what happens is, you know, there's an old proverb saying that the source of all human suffering is trying to obtain what's unobtainable, positive life,
yeah.
and trying to get rid of what's unavoidable, which
yeah.
is that negative life, because
mm-hmm.
it's going to come.
Yeah.
It's got to come a part of that magnet. So it's understanding how do we embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I just said earlier, if you take something that's challenging and you see how did it serve me in my highest priority, how did it help me fulfill what's
yeah.
important to me today, that no longer becomes something you're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
It becomes something that you're grateful for.
Yeah.
And you see, ah, it had positives and it had equal negatives.
Mm-hmm.
It had benefits and equal drawbacks. Again, I really want to reiterate this to your audience.
This
that
is very important, yes.
It's not about making something positive.
No.
It's about bringing it into that, seeing something in that magnet.
Mm-hmm.
The magnet has equal both sides. It doesn't just have one side.
Yes. Now, that leads to another question, which is very interesting. Now, let's say someone learns to have balanced intentions and tries to implement what you're teaching right here. But then my experience or observation has been that, yes, you try to implement something into your life for 10 days, 15 days, 20 days, 30 days, and then all of a sudden you tend to come back to your default setting. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think the default setting is, Jack, I've never worked with somebody that
mm-hmm.
has understood these principles.
Yeah.
And gone back to, wanting to remain in the victim side.
Yeah.
In fact, no, I'm going to correct that. I have had a few people.
Yeah.
And the only time it's happened
yeah.
is when they have more gains in staying in the victim story than mastering their life.
Okay. Yeah.
But then when we've dealt with that, then they've moved on.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So when you get to the point of understanding these principles, these are universal laws.
Yes.
That I'm sharing with you and the viewers. And these universal laws is how the universe works. People like Emerson, Plato, Einstein, all these people before us, you know, even before Dr. DeMartini, have tried to explain to us how does the universe work.
Yeah.
You know, there was a great article out recently that basically proves that even in the universe, for you know, every particle we have the equal and opposite antiparticle.
Yes.
Which it's being proven now. You know, so many years, and there's all these philosophers, like everybody has said this before.
Yeah.
So when you understand that, it's almost like if I was to use the word, just, you know, before getting into this work, I was trying to search a happy life.
Yeah.
I live more of a fulfilled life now than I ever did before because I know there's both sides of that coming.
Yes.
I'm not going to want to go back into victim mentality to just say, oh, I only want my happy life.
Yeah.
Because I know it's unobtainable.
It's unobtainable.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So when I start to see, you know, in the moment you're really seeing the perfection of what's happening.
Yeah.
When you take your daily challenge and you go, how did this help me?
Yeah.
And in that moment you see perfection.
Yeah.
You have no desire to change what just happened.
Yeah.
There is an absolute connection to the creator, the universe, your soul in that moment, which allows you to transcend a judgment that you have in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, yes.
But when you say default back as well, you know, I just want to kind of question, the moment you bring something into, you know, balance in your mind, into equilibrium, you move on to your next judgment.
Yes.
And that judgment is another split of negative and positive.
Yes.
And then you ask the quality questions to bring that judgment into equilibrium, and then you go on to the next judgment.
Yes.
So these are going to be fleeting moments of balance that you experience.
Yeah.
It's never going to be a consistent.
It would never be consistent. I agree with you. In fact, you know, you mentioned that I was reading Benjamin Franklin's biography at one point, and I remember he said, you know, he used to read a book a night.
Yeah.
And then. He got to a point in his personal life that he said, okay, there's no way I'll ever be able to deal with all my challenges, personal challenges. It's just going to be an ongoing process through pretty much throughout your life, regardless of how much you've learned. It's always going to be a ongoing process of challenging and learning and balancing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great that you mentioned that, because that actually supports that I learned as well.
Yeah. I tell you something really ironic.
Mm-hmm.
So Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, have you read that book?
I haven't read it, but I've heard a lot about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he came up with a quote, which is very ironic for somebody who's written a positive thinking book.
Yes.
He said, if you ever wake up without a problem, you better get on your hands and knees and pray for one, for otherwise you have died.
I agree with that. Yes.
So he is, you know, he knew that you have to have challenges in life.
Yes.
But yet here he is promoting a positive thinking only book.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does,
so
yes.
So people know this.
Yes.
You know, I think Dr. Steve Martini puts it lovely, is that people are taught the illusion until they're ready for the truth. I think once you see the truth, there is no default setting of you thinking that that's what you want to go back to.
Yeah.
Your default setting becomes the one that is looking for both sides in life.
Fantastic. So, I'm actually into property tech and property finance, and we come across challenges pretty much every day. People's challenges, especially money challenges, where the money is tied up. How do you deal with that and the emotional aspects of that? How do we deal with that?
It's very interesting, because I do work with quite a few property investors, but I want to start with a beautiful quote by Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that until you can manage your emotions, don't expect to manage your money.
Interesting.
And what that means is, no matter what you're doing, whether you're doing property or whether you're doing a business that is, you know, completely service-based, different, whatever it is, until you know how to manage your emotions, you're going to be volatile in your emotions, which is going to create volatility in your business and your money. When you take these kind of challenges that you're experiencing, you know, because doing a property deal does require a lot of energy, and you are going to have challenges, like you said. And it reminds me of a client that I recently worked with, And he was, you know, doing, him and his wife were doing a big property project. Mm-hmm. And they were expecting some money to come in. And it was tied up for about 9 to 10 months. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, why isn't it coming in? Why isn't it coming in? Why isn't it coming in? And just as earlier I said, you know, asking the question of how is what I'm going through right now mm-hmm. helping me and serving me in my highest priorities? Mm-hmm. Why is it perfect that this money isn't coming in right now? Mm-hmm. What is it allowing me to do that I wouldn't be doing if I had the money? Mm-hmm. Just asking a couple of these questions allows you to see that perfection of the money not coming in. Mm-hmm. You're no longer attached to the money coming in. Mm-hmm. And what happened is as a result of this couple being not attached to the money coming in, the money then started to come in. Because now you're not trying to, you know, you're not trying to basically roll things uphill, you know, and basically trying to go against something, going, I just can't see how this is working mm-hmm. for me. And you get into, you know, you then become relaxed. You're like, I see how this is perfect. It's working for me. Whenever the time is right, mm-hmm. I know that it's going to come. Mm-hmm. But just that slight change in your managing the perception that you have mm-hmm. that it's not perfect. Because mm-hmm. anytime we think something's not perfect and needs to be changed, mm-hmm. we're questioning, you know, the will of God or the universe, whatever you want to call it. I'm not really attached to what mm-hmm. people call it, but you're questioning the work mm-hmm. of what is going on for you. And so the moment you become a lot more manageable in your emotions, mm-hmm. your money becomes more manageable.
That's interesting. You mentioned that. So how can people learn more about what you coach on, what you teach on? Where can people really find you and actually attend your training?
Yeah, well, they can go to my website. I do, mm-hmm. I do you know, workshops now and again, so they're all going to be updated on the events page of my website. Mm-hmm. Would you like to share one of
this? No, I'll actually share the link to the website anyway, but yeah.
Okay, so yeah, on my website, I've got obviously the YouTube channel, which mm-hmm. has got some great content out there. Mm-hmm. This story that I've just mm-hmm. shared with you about this case with this client, mm-hmm. is up there as well. So
is it Manu Chaudhary?
Yeah, no, it's Optimum Performance Solutions.
Optimum Performance Solutions. Okay, that's great. Yeah. So you can find the YouTube channel with Optimum Performance Solutions. Okay.
Yeah.
Where else can people connect with you?
Instagram, Facebook,
LinkedIn.
And yeah, LinkedIn. I'm on there as well. So all the normal social media streams.
Fantastic. So I really, really recommend you to connect with Manmeet. The stuff she coaches on is absolutely amazing. It will help you sort of create your perception in a way where you have balanced intentions, being able to come out of those emotional blocks that you have. And I would actually really heavily recommend you to attend her 2 days training. You have a 2 day training
program? I have a 2 day workshop.
2 day workshop. I would really, really recommend you to attend that 2 day workshop. And I'm going to be there. That's for sure. But yeah. And you can find her on optimumperformancesolutions.com.
That's it.
That's great. So yeah, thank you for being on the show. It's an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Jack. Thank you for having me and the opportunity to share with your audience, because that allows me to share my message with many more people. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. So you guys, till then, have fun and have an absolutely amazing day. Take care. Bye for now.